Campus FM presents Talking Eds, a program brought to you by students from the International Masters in Adult Education for Social Change, who are studying currently at the University of Malta.
Hi, this is Song Han from China, your host for the episode of Talking Eds. This time we will be talking about adult education for migration. We have two guests in the studio with me, Sentayo from Ethiopia, who study and work in Africa, Asia, and Europe in the field of human resource development and comparative education. And we also have one team member from Talking Eds group, Ola Pawlak, who is originally from Poland and has worked for the last 4 years as a community educator, interpreter, and welfare advisor with refugee and immigration in Scotland. And we are very delighted to have a special guest, Aman, a migrant originally from Eritrea, 19 years old, and who has been living in Malta for 3 years. Thank you guys for joining us.
Hello.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So, Aman, first of all, we would like to ask you to share some of your story. So, what is your life used to be before you came to Malta, and why do you choose Malta as your destination?
Well, because my family isn't here, I came here, mm-hmm. and I followed them.
Okay. So what do you think your life is different after living here for 3 years?
Yeah, it is. It's it's different because I have seen a lot of technologies I haven't seen in my country. I have seen a lot of different things. It's changed a lot. I was young when I was in my country, I was studying.
Oh, yeah. So at what age did you leave your country?
15.
15.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
Does it mean that you came to school as well in here? Did you study in school in Malta?
Well, I didn't. School is for me. Like, I don't really like school.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, even when I was in my country, no, I wasn't good at school. I didn't like school. But, yeah.
Maybe, can you share us just a little bit of your experience of crossing the borders to come here, maybe?
First, from Eritrea, I went to Ethiopia and then to Sudan, and from Sudan to Libya, from Libya to Italy, and from Italy to Malta.
So that is just crossing the borders using land. It's not like using airplane or not.
No. First, from Eritrea to Ethiopia by walk and
walking. Just
yeah,
at
walking.
Home.
Yeah, and then from Ethiopia to Sudan, taking different transports and some ways by foot, and then from Ethiopia, from Sudan, we take the truck, and in the desert, the Libyan military accept us, and then they took us to their place, and then from there we stayed, and from Benghazi, they take us to the shore, and from the shore we took a boat, yeah, but the boat was like, the engine was stopped working, and then we were losing our life.
Okay.
Yeah, we was at risk. Yeah, and then, but there was one guy from his father is Malta, as in Italy. He speaks mm-hmm. Italian, and then he called them to the emergency, and then they send out the I don't know what is
the rescue.
Yeah. They send out and they took us. Yeah, but the risk was in the desert, because like you're afraid, it's a long desert, and you have just one car, you're just afraid of the engine to explore uh-huh. with the heat. Then we were lucky, and we were praying. Yeah, everyone was praying, you know, even though we didn't shout like this, but everyone there was next to me, my friend, and he asked me, why am I praying in my heart? He said that, and then we were all praying. But
how long did it take just the whole journey from Eritrea to arrive in Italy? You came to Italy, I think, first, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, how long?
Before
totally, how long did it take, the time?
Yeah, I didn't came directly because I stayed in Sudan for like 3 months, blah, 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 in mm-hmm. Ethiopia. Not directly.
Yeah.
I stayed, for example, in Sudan like 3 months, blah, 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 something in Ethiopia, in Libya, and then in Italy, like for 1 year. And then after 1 year, I came here. Yeah, because it was like I came here legally, mm-hmm. the process.
Mm-hmm.
Were you alone from Eritrea, or were there just other Eritreans?
Yeah, in the
some younger ones, mm-hmm. yeah.
Was your family with you?
No, I was alone. No. Mm-hmm. But all we are all brothers, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We care each other. Okay, okay. You don't really need your only biological brother or mother. They are mm-hmm. all mm-hmm. brothers. It's really good. You don't need that. But we all like a lot of people in the truck. It was real. We didn't have like a comfort of space. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was like
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
That was the problem.
So, Sintayo, you have been working with some local organization to improve the situation of migration here in Malta. So, from an African point of view, so what do you think is the reason behind this immigration trend?
Thank you. It's very difficult to specify clearly list out the reasons.
There are different countries.
Yeah, it's not like
issues.
It's my reflection on the reasons, not kind of research findings. Usually the reason is just a conflict, especially for those coming from Africa and Middle East. But personally, I do feel that conflict is not the only reason. Like, it varies from countries to countries and regions to regions.
Mm-hmm.
I originally came from East Africa, Ethiopia, so I can talk about just the situation or mm-hmm. some of the reasons just in the East African region. For those who are coming from Sudan, particularly South Sudan and Somali, conflict is the main cause. There are Islamic fundamentalists in Somali. Somali has been just in war for the last 20 or 30 years. So there are so many Somalians coming to Malta, and there are South Sudanese coming here because of the conflicts. Sometimes it is ethnic conflict, sometimes religious conflict. Conflict is the reason for some of these nations. From the place where Amar came from, Eritrea, it is a kind of oppressive dictatorship. Yeah, that is the main reason. They have no opportunity to work and to express their whatever they are believing just freely. So mainly it is oppression, and partly in Ethiopia it is because of lack of good governance. And I can say that mainly it is just seeking for or searching for some opportunities for employment.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's also the main reason from some of the countries like in the West African. I think these are the main reasons.
Yeah. So, Aman, when you come here, did you get any help from the governmental or other non-government organization?
Yeah, they get me education.
Mm-hmm.
They send them to school. But as you know, as I told you earlier, not, I didn't attend school.
Oh, so where did you learn English?
Well, like us, we like with friends. Like this, we just talk, speak, and I learn by myself. I like learning by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, there is Integra,
mm-hmm.
I go there, there is, you discuss with the people, and you improve, you ask them whatever question you want.
Yeah.
Just like this, no mathematics.
So, Sintayo, based on what you experienced here, so how would you comment on the status quo? Do you think the situation has been improved, or do you think there is more challenges that's normally negated by the most people that we need to tackle with?
You mean the challenge migrants are facing?
Yeah.
I think just, I feel that they are still not well integrated.
Mm-hmm.
Eritreans are, you know, usually living with Eritreans in the neighbor, and they are communicating with Eritreans. Ethiopians are communicating to each other with Ethiopians. And Somalians are communicating with each other to Somalians. Even among the Africans, there is no kind of integration and networking. So they still they kept just their ethnic group or the ethnic clinch just back home, and I think they are suffering from a kind of integration. That is my feeling.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think this is so, that people tend to stick together and not integrate?
Yeah, for me,
I see this the same thing with my community, Polish mm-hmm. community in UK. It's exactly the same tendency. It's not just the case in Malta.
Yeah, I think it is easy for them, you know, they are speaking the same language. One is just a language barrier. Most of just the migrants coming from Africa, they can't even speak just English, let alone Maltese. So that the only option just that they have is searching for their own community group and just joining that community group. And then they would continue just that way, like just only communicating and networking with their own community group. So it's like most of the, maybe the host communities as well, and the NGOs may be working only on some kind of a quick fix or firefighting, like giving a humanitarian action instead of kind of integration. Mm-hmm. I think that might be the reason.
Yeah, I think communities from person's country can provide some kind of support network, mm-hmm. And actual help on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, a few days ago, I found one article from Times of Malta. The article was published, of course, not last year, but the title is "Migration is Very Troubling to Maltese." And I just a few years ago, the mainstream media was still using the word "refugee crisis" to describe the situation in Europe. And how would you comment on that?
I think that the role of media at the moment when it comes to shaping people's attitudes is very problematic. The language that is being used in media is often very negative.
Yeah.
I find words like refugee crisis very emotionally loaded because it makes it sound like as if people are a problem rather than actually telling people's stories. A lot of the time media is painting a picture of masses of people coming in without faces, without stories, just some unknown masses. And it creates certain attitudes in communities. And from my experience in UK, I would say media has used the waves of migration that have been coming in a way to create atmosphere of fear, in a way demonizing the whole idea of migration and immigrants, painting them as the main problem, scapegoats to blame for the actual financial crisis, which was caused by very different reasons. And that was then used in a sense, or at least had a knock-on effect on people's attitudes and bringing to the front the racism and xenophobia in community. As we've seen recently after the European Union referendum in UK, there was a big rise in hate crimes in all over the United Kingdom. And it's a lot of things are happening still. And I think media has played a big part in that. And politicians who have been using certain language, very negative language, and expressing their opinions in a way, making it clear that these kind of behaviors and opinions are now legitimate. So it's okay now to be racist in UK.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that the influence of the media is very huge. Even the one of the challenge for the adult education towards migrants is the media, because the media, it seems that the media is more powerful than that of just the advocacy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We will have a short break and we'll be back soon. Welcome back to the program. So, Aman, can you give us some basic introduction of the song you choose that we displayed earlier?
Well, okay. This song is like remind me like how I was in my country. Like you don't pay a rent house. Like we have our own house here. We don't have like your house and the family, all the traditional things, all the love of the country that you do in there. There is no staying here, and you have your own house. You are like self-sufficient. You don't have to work like in the morning. You know, cab. Like you don't pay except like money. You don't buy things. All is like it's like. It reminds me everything about my country.
So did you say it's about the love of the country?
Yeah.
And it's in which language, this song?
Tigrinya.
Mm-hmm. And Tigrinya is it your native language?
Yeah, Tigrinya.
Mm-hmm. From Eritrea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So, Aman, I would like to ask, from your community, do you think that most people from your community are living a decent life here? Or in many ways, is it easy to find a job? Is it easy to have access to school or vocational education institution?
Yeah, to get education is really, it's really good, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can study whatever you want.
For free?
For free, yeah.
And how about jobs?
Job? A job. Like, do you mean the
Are they working for example, your friends?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are working.
Is it easy to find a job?
Yeah, I can find a lot of job like dishwasher. Unless if you are not educated, you will work like dishwasher, in hotel, blah blah blah, like dishwasher, delivery. You will work something like that if you are not education. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen anyone, but I don't know about jobs. You can work. There is a lot of work really. Mm-hmm.
So do you think that's enough to live a good life here in Malta, that income that they get from that job?
No. It's just for a while, because
These are not a well-paid jobs, right?
No, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No. How about progressing to a better-paid job? For example, yourself, what is that you would like to do, and how do you think?
Well, like everyone, like, I want to make, like, a quick money, like, no computer system like that, internet, not like working, like everyone, like the social, because that's just for, not purposes, it's just for daily life, not like to go away, it's just like to pay for the bills, rent, to eat food, that's it.
To cover your expenses.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Not to do something higher or to progress or to be rich.
Do you have any specific plan for your future career?
Yeah.
What do you want to do for the future?
Yeah, I want to make videos prank, and then when I get a lot of money, then I will start to think of running a business. Yeah, that's what I think, and that's like my own business, so I can get rich. Yeah.
So back to Scotland. Both of our two guests here has been working with the asylum seekers, refugee, and migrants from all over the world. So how would you think that the migrant situation is different in Scotland or even in the whole country of UK as compared with Malta?
I think one basic difference is most of the migrants in Scotland or in the UK are like leading their life like in a very stable way. And they already just, take Scotland or UK as their home country. But in Malta, many of the migrants, they have a feeling of just that they will be staying here for a very short period of time. And when you talk to almost just migrants and refugees here in Malta, all are telling you that just they want to go to the US or to Germany or to the UK or to France and things like that. I think that is the basic difference because, you know, usually they come to Malta because Malta is very near to Africa.
Yeah.
And their main aim or idea behind is just using Malta as a way to go to some other European countries, yeah. So I can see some differences between the migrant community in UK and here in Malta.
Yeah, I agree with you, Sintayo, that in Scotland, people who come to Scotland as refugees, especially, or in general, even as economic migrants, they think of Scotland as their home. And even I would say that in most of the cases, they have been embraced by Scottish communities.
Yeah.
There's a term that's used in Scotland as new Scots, Scottish people.
Sure.
And that's how people describe refugees rather than calling them refugees, immigrants.
Yeah.
And migrants just call them new Scots. And there is a big movement in support of refugees coming into Scotland. There is a lot of pressure put on the government, especially in Scotland, more so than in England, to welcome people who are coming, especially from conflict zones.
Yeah. Even in terms of the government or the policy makers, I think in Scotland there is a long history of just accommodating these migrants and foreigners. In Malta, I think it is relatively a recent phenomenon, I think. That's also relatively new to the government of Malta. I think it is like before 15 years or 20 years that people started to come here to Malta, but to the UK and to Scotland, I think it's a very long history of immigration.
I would say that another difference between Malta and Scotland in particular is the population size, because Malta is a very small island with fairly large population, and maybe that is contributing to certain attitudes where people feel that there is a big influx of immigrants, whereas in Scotland population is rather small for the land, and the feeling is very different. People don't feel overwhelmed at all by immigration. In fact, they're very welcoming.
And Ola, so can you share us some of your working experience in Glasgow? What did you do to help the people from other countries?
Well, what we have been doing is, so I've been working at Integration Networks and also at the Equality Council in Glasgow, and we have been working both with immigrants, refugees, asylum seekers to help them find services, integrate, be able to access different resources such as welfare or even courses, classes, education, etc. But also we have been working with indigenous Scottish communities so that they would learn about other cultures. What we did is we've been bringing different people together, all kinds of different cultures, and we've been delivering different courses for groups. What is a big advantage of bringing diverse communities together is that, in my opinion, is the best way to integrate, because people learn about each other and they see people's faces and people's stories rather than stereotypes. So it has been very helpful in when it comes to educating new communities that are coming in about Scottish way of living, but also educating Scottish communities about the other ways of living.
Mm-hmm. So, based on your experience, to what extent do you think adult education can help solving this issue?
Well, issue.
No, I'm sorry, it is the word issue, but yeah.
I think that adult education's role is again this twofold, for educating communities to be more open-minded and welcoming, to understand the situations of other people, and just to challenge racism and xenophobia, which I would say is the issue that we are really, we have at hand in here. When it comes to refugees who are coming from conflict zones or trying to escape to a safer place, I would say that it is human right to look for a safer place. And it is important for people who live in safe places to acknowledge that you have to open your home to welcome people and give them those opportunities. So this is a big role of adult education, and also obviously the typical kind of integration work where teaching people their language skills, customs of the country that they have just arrived in, so that they know how to live there and how to start their new lives.
So I have read some piece of news last month that one immigrant from Ghana, he committed suicide after his application to return to his home country was rejected by the local authority. So, of course, it is an extreme case, but we can know that there are quite a number of them are not living, you know, in a rather concerning situation here. So surely the task to educate the migrants is vital, but would you agree that we can tackle this this situation through educating the general public?
I think so, and I also endorse what Ola clearly explained. But my observation so far in Malta, there are so many civic society organizations and NGOs working on advocacy and some humanitarian responses. But it's like a very bureaucratic and administrative response towards just the problem. I can't say it is like integration or inclusion in this broader way. They are mainly concerned about just these bureaucratic and policy issues and advocacy and rules and regulations instead of supporting migrants or refugees in their life. I can say that just there is no kind of empowerment the community themselves. So it seems that the community is there, alienated from the civic society organizations and waiting for a certain kind of help, like personal assistance and things like that. So I feel that this is the wrong way. It's not the wrong way, of course, but it should be improved, I think.
Yeah, it's very superficial currently.
Yeah, and mainly focusing on like administrative issues. Everywhere you go, you can see that English language. All the churches, all the civil society organizations and the NGOs are like doing the same thing. They are reproducing the conventional way of supporting these migrants and refugees.
Yeah, but they neglect that there are more needs, practical needs.
There are so many issues just deep down when it comes to the migrant issues, like cultural issues are there, and there are some identity issues are there. So it seems like the support is very superficial.
I agree. A lot of important work that should be getting done is allowing people to get back on their feet. And we have been working a lot with women who have suffered a lot of difficult situations throughout their lives back in the home country, so the journey of coming to UK and then when arriving to UK. There's a lot of trauma. We're not really dealing with that when we're just addressing the very surface issues such as giving somebody housing or teaching somebody English. There is much more support that is needed in order to allow people to start their own lives, having a job, having the confidence to access services to get back into employment. Now, from my experience, I have worked mostly with women. A lot of women that I have worked with, they have never had a job back home, or if they have had, their qualifications don't translate. Their confidence that they've lost throughout their lives, in a way, stops them from, in a way, starting their lives again. And what Songhan, what you've mentioned about empowerment, this is something that I think we have a long way to go to develop services that allow people to feel empowered. And
there are, of course, some organizations working towards this empowering the community, the migrant community themselves, even in Malta. But I can say that it is in its infant stage.
Mm-hmm. What is that they do?
They are like giving kind of training, like leadership and mentoring training for some of the potential leaders. Those individuals are from the migrant themselves. So there are some empowerment programs. I mean, supporting them in terms of their identity, their psychology, and some of the cultural aspect as well.
Okay, that's where we have to wrap up our discussion. Thank you to our panel, Ola and Santiago, for your interesting insights into the adult education for migration. And thank you to the participation of our special guest, Aman, and also the excellent from our team member, Lijiani. And thank you to our technician, Samuel. And this series, Talking Ads, is available online at MaltaUniversityBroadcasting.com. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.